This is the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey today. On August 31st, the first bus full of migrants coming from Texas made its way to its destination of downtown Chicago. About 60 people originating from Venezuela got off the bus before being taken to shelters across the city. Since then, more than 1,000 other migrants have been bused from Texas to Chicago. And it's all an effort by Texas Governor Greg Abbott to call out President Joe Biden's administration for what he calls a soaring influx of migrants coming from Central and South America. Governor Abbott has been sending the migrants to so-called sanctuary cities, and besides Chicago, Washington, D.C., and New York City have also become notable destinations. The political stunt has prompted similar efforts by the governors of Arizona and Florida. Migrants on the buses have described their journeys as dangerous and difficult. Here's 41-year-old Yusabeli Marcano speaking through an interpreter to PBS NewsHour about her two-month-long trip from Venezuela to Washington, D.C.
It was very, very difficult. It was a two-month journey that I never really imagined would be this hard. You have to live it to know what it feels like. My hope is to continue holding on to my faith in God. I will never let go of that. I'm scared because we're in a country that's not our own, where we don't know anyone.
Critics have called out these efforts. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot has called the stunt racist. As more migrants continue to arrive, it's prompting organizations and communities across the state to prepare and respond. Joining us now to discuss this is Laura Mendoza. She's the immigration organizer for the Resurrection Project in Chicago. Laura, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And you can join the conversation right now by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Laura, it's been about a month since migrants started arriving in Chicago. Can you tell us about some of the people who you've met in recent weeks?
They're all, they're all human beings. They're all great people. A lot of them are family members. A lot of them are men. So we are seeing a significant number of men as opposed to families coming in. And a lot of them are just here to provide for their families who are back in Venezuela or maybe Peru or Colombia. And they really just have a dream of being able to provide for their families, to make it here. And then to eventually, once they adjust their status, to be able to bring their families over so that they too can be safe, can be with them. And so that's really their hopes and their dreams, is just to be able to work, provide for their families.
Are there common threads that you're seeing also in terms of the immediate needs that many of these people and these individuals and these families are dealing with? And can you talk about some of the work that the Resurrection Project has been doing to meet those needs?
Yeah, so I think one thing that is really kind of different in terms of the group that is coming in is, we know that that immigration has happened for years in this country. Immigration has always been something that has taken place in the U.S. What looks different about some of the individuals and families coming in is that they're coming in without really having family or friends or anybody here who's already somewhat established and who can help them navigate living in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and coming in from another country. So that's really different, and that's really why it's so important for organizations like the Resurrection Project to step in. It's because they don't have that family member or that friend to really guide them, that's kind of somewhat of the role that the Resurrection Project is taking, is being able to, let them know about their rights, let them know about where they can get legal advice, something as simple as like food and clothing, being able to provide that for them. So those are some of the things that we're actively doing to ensure people are able to settle, or at least to have some sort of the basic needs as they're settling here.
We've got just about 30 seconds before we have to take another break, but did it stress out your organization because the arrival of many of these immigrants was unexpected?
Absolutely. We work around immigration. That is what we do. And as we know, a lot of immigrants have been already in the U.S. for 10 plus years. So the needs are different. We're not really looking at a lot of those basic needs like food, shelter, clothing. You know, we're looking more at things like, you know, helping them adjust their immigration status. That's really has been the main focus for us. And so we had to pivot and make that shift really quickly. And, you know, it really was an all hands on deck effort. And, you know, we don't have the resources to be able to put in this much work. I mean, we're working, right? We were working 7 days a week, late nights. And that was all because the staff was able to step up and they said, yes, we want to do it. And also volunteers have stepped up and said, yes, we want to be able to take this on.
Laura, I'm going to just interrupt here to say we're going to just take a short break, but we'll have more on this coming up in just a couple minutes. This is the 21st. Stay with us. From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, filling in for Brian Mackey today. He's on assignment. We're talking about how more than 1,000 migrants have arrived in Chicago in recent weeks, sent on buses from Texas. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has said he's sending the migrants to sanctuary cities like Chicago to bring attention to the influx of migrants at the southern U.S. border. We've been speaking with Laura Mendoza, immigration organizer for the Resurrection Project in Chicago. And I want to bring two more people into this conversation. Jessica DeVries is the director of programs at the New American Welcome Center at the University YMCA in Urbana. Jessica, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much.
And Ricardo Diaz is also with us in studio. He's a spokesperson for the Champaign-Urbana Immigration Forum. Ricardo, welcome back to the 21st.
Good morning.
We've got about 10 more minutes or so on this topic, and we would love to have you join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or as always, you can tweet us at 21STShow. Ricardo, can you tell me a little bit about what you, your organization, has been doing to prepare for the possibility that some of these migrants may start coming to parts of Illinois, downstate, including here in East Central Illinois?
So there's a group of us. The Immigration Forum is only one. We have everyone from Immigration Services, Refugee Center. But the Health District is also present. We've been meeting. We'll be meeting again today, in which we're divvying up what the possibilities of the needs are. As Laura mentioned, there's legal, but we anticipate that there will be some health needs. Certainly some shelter, food, the basics. But as we look at the possibility, we actually, it's an opportunity for the agencies and the churches to get together and see where we're at when it comes to being welcoming. So we are preparing, we are creating the links between us to if it becomes an emergency, to be able to be ready to receive people on the fly. But also to look at, assess what our, where our gaps are when it comes to services. But we welcome the opportunity.
Thank you. Jessica, is there anything you'd add about what the New American Welcome Center is doing to prepare as well?
I would say that we are working alongside Immigration Forum and the other agencies that Ricardo mentioned. Immigration Forum got the conversation going, and at the New American Welcome Center, we've been playing the role of just trying to be the convener and providing the conversation space to kind of look at what our local resources are and think about where there may be gaps that we would need to address before we would be ready for people to arrive.
Hmm. Laura, there up in Chicago with the Resurrection Project, are you all preparing for even more people to arrive? And are there plans to try to help some of these individuals and families move to other parts of the state where there might be assistance for them as well?
Yeah, so we are definitely preparing to, you know, to get more people. I think right now it's been about three buses that the city's receiving every other day. And so we know that that's going to continue. You know, it's, I mean, it's, at the end of the day, it is difficult. Resources are really needed. I mean, shelter is really important. We're working in collaboration with the city and the state efforts to be able to provide those shelters for people. So, you know, it is really difficult. I don't know that necessarily we're like thinking about like downstate. It all depends on like the capacity. One of the things that we do when immigrants do come in is they do get to talk to Catholic Charities about the possibility of going to another state. Mm-hmm. And Catholic Charities will buy a ticket for them, but only if there's family or friends that are going to receive them and that are going to help them. Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to send people to another state or even to another city here in Illinois where they're not going to have any resources and where they're going to have to depend on like the shelter systems to be able to get by.
Yeah. Jessica, I was speaking with one of the producers ahead of the show, and he mentioned that kind of related to something Laura brought up earlier about how the needs of these migrants, there are immediate needs and then maybe also long-term needs. But he mentioned that there's they've been traveling for months, sometimes by foot, and there's actually a need for healthcare specialists like podiatrists. Is that can you talk a little bit about that, what you've been hearing, and how does a community prepare to meet some of these very specific individual needs related to what these migrants are needing in this moment?
Yes, so we work with immigrants on a daily basis in Champaign County. About 1 in 8 of our residents is an immigrant. We have the largest population of immigrants in Illinois outside of Chicago. And so we do work with recent arrivals pretty frequently. But for this particular situation, we've just been talking a lot with the folks up in Chicago who are already greeting individuals and seeing the needs that they have. And so we've just been asking questions to try to identify what some of the resources would be that we need. And very specific things like podiatry have come up just because of the simple fact that people have been walking for so long to get to the US. So in terms of trying to meet those needs, that's what we're doing right now. So for something like a specific health need like that, that's why we have the local public health district in the conversation. And then everyone is kind of reaching out in their own special areas to other partners to try to bring more people into the conversation and to try to get those needs met. So I think one of the big things, Ricardo mentioned legal assistance, which mm-hmm. we have some capacity for, but other things like housing, which is always something that we're short on, and the market is, it's really hot right now. So things like that are the things that we're trying to figure out how we would address. And that's what we're still working on.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman. We're talking about efforts in Illinois to help migrants, and we're speaking with Laura Mendoza. She's the immigration organizer with the Resurrection Project in Chicago, as well as Jessica DeVries, director of programs at the University YMCA's New American Welcome Center, and Ricardo Diaz, a spokesperson for the CU Immigration Forum. And you can join us by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Ricardo, I wonder if we could kind of step back and think a little big picture about just the fact that the U.S. has a longstanding tradition of welcoming immigrants into the country. What would you say to someone who isn't of the mindset of like we should be welcoming more people or wouldn't want to be a part of these efforts or see the state trying to be a more welcoming place for people who are coming from other countries?
No, there's legitimate control concerns. And in fact, I've had one person call me a couple of times now this week, concerned about using resources that local low-income people need and using them towards the immigrants coming in. We are continually, as Jess said, receiving people and placing and meeting those needs. Not only do I think it's legitimate to think through those issues, it's a good opportunity to assess where we're at. it is true that housing is a problem, but it's particularly low-income family housing in our area needs to be addressed better. And that's without the immigrants. The immigrants themselves, as Laura mentioned, it's hardest when they don't have anyone to land, anyone's house or relatives to land on. Luckily, most of the immigrants that come in, whether university or not associated, they have somebody that they're landing with. In the case of regular housing, and it gets brought up again and again, and people don't realize it. When immigrants arrive, whether they're refugees, asylees, there is very little obligation of the system to do. Usually they don't qualify for Section 8, public housing, all the regular norms, normal ways for local people to go to. They're not allowed to be in those systems. Food stamps, for example, all those kind of things. So we have to make up for those under churches, other ways that we do to help people. But especially when it's this kind of influx that they're receiving in Chicago. So we have to figure out ways to do it both temporarily and then help them get together. Most immigrants that arrive are willing and are coming to work. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that often can get neglected. They come with needs, but they also come with a need to work. Mm. They usually have a family back home that they've left behind that needs help. So minimum for that, but they need to survive and they realize that. So I think that we need to look at what the needs are and then their contributions both as workers, yes, which means tax paying, which also means also with the assets. What knowledge do they bring? What other things are they coming with? That has always been the pattern when people settle in the United States. You know, all of a sudden we have a new shoe repair person, or, you know, we in this kind of bus, we don't normally have doctors, but we might. It is not unusual to have a sociologist, a historian, or whatever, because situations in their country are such that even if you're an intellectual and academic, you might not be able to stay in your home because that is the part that is unwelcomed in their home country. And so as we look at the whole individual and we see why the United States is so resilient, as it's had an influx of new people, whether it's during war or whether it's famine, it brings people that come with assets and needs.
Yeah. We have just a couple minutes left, but I want to make sure we talk a little bit about how people can join the effort that you all are doing to support newly arrived immigrants. Laura, can we start with you? What are ways that people can help meet some of the needs of the people who are arriving from other places?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely can use donations. We have a lot of men who are coming in, and like has been mentioned, a lot of them have been walking for 2 months. And so shoes are a big need for us right now. Sizes like 8.5 to 10. So like smaller sizes, men's clothing, you know, all of those things are really needed because they really are just coming with what they have on, and that's it. And so being able to provide those basic needs are super helpful. You know, there's also the Resurrection Project is also accepting monetary donations that allows us to continue to do the work with volunteers, with our volunteers and being on site at the different shelters and at the welcoming center with the city of Chicago. So I think those two things would be the best. And then, you know, I think we need to continue to be informed, and we need to continue to push the federal government for an actual fix to this, right? Mm. Because once people get their legal screening and talk to an attorney, a lot of them are going to find that it's either going to be a really long road before they're able to get a work permit, or there might not even be a road for them to adjust their status unless there are changes from the federal government. Mm. So we need to continue to push for an actual comprehensive plan as to what these families are going to do now that they're here.
Yes. Thank you for that, Laura. Jessica, same question to you. We have just about 30 seconds left, but do you have any advice for people who want to help?
Yep. I would say they could donate to our Immigrant Relief Fund. That's emergency assistance that goes directly to immigrants. And they can find that at our website, universityymca.org/welcome. If people are looking for the opportunity to volunteer, should folks end up coming to our community, we'll probably be putting out information on our Facebook page, which is at YNAWC. And then I just really encourage people to advocate like Laura did also.
Thank you for that. I'd like to thank each of our guests for joining us. Ricardo Diaz with the CU Immigration Forum, Jessica DeVries with the University YMCA's New American Welcome Center, and Laura Mendoza with the Resurrection Project in Chicago. Thank you all for joining us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 21st Show is produced by Aiden Choate, Christine Hatfield, Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Anaya Jones and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. And thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey. He'll be back on Monday. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk with you again soon.